build something rather than buying it, fixing something rather than replacing it, sourcing free things that you thought you had to buy, and just not needing things because you've got some skills. These are all great ways of saving money, and that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 326 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. We have got a cracking episode today. We're going to be talking all about frugality on the homestead, and it might sound like a difficult episode or something that's a bit painful to do, but it's not. It can be super fun, and I've got loads and loads of great tips of how we can save money and just do things in a more frugal way around the homestead. I do have a tiny bit of housekeeping to get out the way first. I wanted to just mention, some of you may have already noticed, there's been a name change to the podcast, ever so slight. This is now, well, I'm still going to refer to it as the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast, and you can all do the same, but I have technically changed the name to the Self-Sufficient Hub Homestead podcast, only because that word homestead in the title seems to make an awfully big difference to how easy we are to find. Homestead and homesteading really does seem to be the search term that people look for when they're trying to find a new podcast or anything else in this area. So I've changed the title to reflect that, and hopefully it will lead to some more listeners. We've been growing really well actually this year as a podcast, so thank you all for all of your help in doing that. Like always, this podcast wouldn't exist without you, which also brings me on to a new patron that I would like to give a shout out to and thank ever so much. That is Social Work Tutor on Patreon, has become a new patron of the show, and I'm absolutely thrilled and indebted to you for your support. And I can't thank you enough, and all of you other patrons, for becoming a supporter of the show in that way. It really, really, really does make a difference. The last thing I wanted to say in the housekeeping is just that two of our previous winners, there'll be another draw on Friday. Where, if you're new to the show, every Friday, or most Fridays, occasionally I can't do it, but most Fridays I give away something to one of our patron subscribers. They go in a draw, and there are two outstanding winners that I have not been able to post to yet. I'm just letting you know I do have your addresses. Thank you for getting in touch, Julie Ellaby and William Dillon. I will hopefully get that out this week, but you know how it is. I will get that posted to you as soon as I possibly can, and I'll let you know when I've done that. So thank you, guys. I think that's about it. There will be a draw this Friday where we'll be giving away a prize to a patron. And if you would like to be included in that draw, all you need to do is become a patron of the show at patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. Right, let's get into the meat of today's episode then. And we're talking all about frugality. It's a back to basics episode, so we're going to cover everything in broad strokes here and a little bit of detail as we go. Now, when I think of frugality, we consider ourselves in this house, my wife and I. My wife in particular has always been incredibly frugal, me not so much. But when we think of the word frugality and living a frugal life, we don't think of it as something that's painful. We don't think of it as anything other than a source of pride. We're really, really quite proud of our lifestyle and how we lead it. Now, personally, I am far, far more willing to spend money than my wife on pretty much anything. If I think I need something, if there's something that will add benefit to our lives, I'm quite happy to spend money on it. That's not an issue for me. But once I've made that decision, the choices that I then make about what I'm going to buy, where I'm going to buy it, how I'm going to source it, they are really based around the idea of frugality. It's just wired into our family and how we live now. part of the reason behind that, you have to think about money saved being just as good as money earned. If you can save £10, that's just the same as if you'd earned £10 at your job, an extra £10. It's actually a little bit better, because if you think about it, if you've saved that money, not only have you not had to do that time at work and earn that money doing whatever your day job might be, but you've also gained not just the money, but also that time that you would have spent, which is kind of like an opportunity cost, isn't it? The time that you would have spent at work earning that money is time you haven't spent on your homestead doing whatever it is you love doing, and you've lost the opportunity to do that. So it's actually better, I think. And whenever we can save some money, we're always super, super thrilled. There's loads and loads of ways as homesteaders that we can save money. And a lot of it is based around reducing that gap between our production and our consumption. Some of them are different. They're all away from that theme, but a lot of them are right there. And they're things we enjoy doing anyway. So to start off, for me, everything really starts and ends in the kitchen. So much of what we do is based around food and really connecting to that, and cooking from scratch, which is something I talk about all the time. And cooking in batches is a great way to save money and be frugal. It's generally cheaper than buying ready meals and what have you. The quality is better. And also cooking in batches can make a huge difference. It saves you time and money. So our system here, it's a little bit upset at the moment while we're so busy doing other things, packing and what have you. But generally speaking, our system here at the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, I will cook two giant batches of food quite typically. I might cook something like I cooked this weekend, a huge chicken chili, pulled chicken chili with our own chickens, and I made enough batches to feed our family for four meals. So effectively enough for 20 portions. We're a family of five. And then what I do is we'll eat one of those batches on the day I cook it. One of those batches will go in the fridge and we'll eat later that week. And then the other two will go in the freezer and they'll come out and they'll be used again in the same week, you know, a couple of days apart. So we're getting four great home-cooked family meals, and it's only taking me the time it would take to cook one. There's a slight additional benefit to cooking in batches like that as well. And sorry, I'll just say, so I usually do that twice on a weekend, once on a Saturday, once on a Sunday. Sometimes I'll do it on a Friday night instead or as well. And what that means is I'm effectively cooking eight family meals. So if you do that twice a week, you can see that you'll end up having to take a night off cooking one of those nights. You can end up cooking just twice a week and sometimes just once a week, and always have a great, fantastic, varied diet. Because of course, when we're not eating that, we're eating something that I've cooked in batches and we've taken out the freezer to eat during the week or even at the weekend. So you can see you can get all your family cooking done in just 2 days if you work on that system. But there's an extra added benefit. There's actually an added benefit to keeping your freezers full. It costs less to run a full freezer than it does a half full freezer, believe it or not. It's really quite simple when you think about it. If I were to take a jar, a big jar with nothing in it, put the lid on it, put that in the freezer, and put something of a similar size, let's say we've got a jar the size of a whole chicken, put that in the freezer, and then I put a chicken in the freezer, wait for the chicken to freeze, and then I take them both out and put them on the side. Which one of them is going to stay frozen longer? The air in the jar or the chicken? Which one's going to stay cold? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? The chicken. So if you've got a nice full freezer, once everything is frozen, it really takes next to nothing to keep it at that temperature. But if you've got lots and lots of air in your freezer, every time you open the door, that air is going to warm up and the freezer's got to work that much harder to cool it down again. That just doesn't happen with the solid food that's frozen. So if you are, perhaps you live alone and you find it really difficult to keep your freezer full, what you can do is you can take a big bucket or a bowl and put some water in it and just fill it, put it in your freezer, let it fill your freezer with blocks of ice, huge blocks of ice, and that's going to make your freezer cheaper to run than if it was just half full. It really is cheaper to do it that way than any other way. So that's a little tip for you if you didn't know that already. So cooking from scratch, cooking in batches, keeping your freezer full, these are all great ways to save a little bit of money. Another way that we can save some money around the household is to replace disposable items and use reusable ones. Things like paper towels, we can replace them with cloths that we can clean and rinse under the tap and reuse. We can replace things like cellophane with wax wraps. All of these types of things can reduce what we're having to spend every week when we do our weekly shop or our monthly shop or however it is you have your system set up. We've gone, since we've been homesteading, we've gone from a weekly shop with the occasional pop to the shop in between, to our usual system now is a fortnightly shop. We only do shopping once every 2 weeks, and sometimes we get to skip one of those and go to 3 weeks. So by using reusable things, you're going to run out of things less often. So this again is going to save you a trip to the supermarket, which is fuel, which is time. So these are all great ways to save you time and money. Something else that a lot of people buy is soil amendments and feeds for things like tomato plants or whatever else it might be. Well, you can make your own soil amendments, of course. We can add compost, make our own compost. We can add mulches. I've spoke before about getting hold of free wood chip. You can get that from arborists and electricity companies who are clearing work around power lines. When they've chopped those down, they're going to have to mulch those up and find somewhere to get rid of them. And they're usually really, really grateful if you say, well, you could drop them at my house if you live locally to where they're working. So there's all sorts of ways we can actually source things to amend our soil. And of course, we can make our own compost tea using things like comfrey, which is really, really simple. You can also use manure to make your own compost tea, particularly if you've got animals like sheep. Sheep are a great source of manure for compost tea because they pass these sort of pellets that are easy to collect. They're also super, super dense, and their diet is really amenable to making a fantastic compost tea. You can just soak these things, whether you're using sheep manure or whether you're using comfrey or whatever it might be, in lots of water. Let it take on all of those nutrients and then use that to water your plants to get those nutrients into the soil. And of course, making your own compost is a huge part of it. You know, saving the waste, saving the kitchen waste, saving all the waste from around your garden, making your own compost. We have never once bought fertilizer or had to add any kind of soil amendment to our property that isn't compost. And it's given us ridiculously fertile soil year after year. So that's definitely something we should all be doing. The next way we can reduce our costs and save some money is by saving seeds. It's something we talk about quite often. It's something that can be seen as a bit of a minefield, but it doesn't need to be. There are some things that are really, really easy to save, and some things require a little bit more thought, but they can all be done with a little bit of practice and a little bit of skill. It's certainly an area where I need to up my game, and we're going to be practicing a lot more seed saving after we move house, because it's, like I say, it's just an area that I think I need to increase my knowledge in. But we can all start with the really simple things like runner beans and save a few beans, particularly if you're drying beans anyway. If you're preserving them through drying, you're basically doing exactly the same thing as if you were saving them to replant. So we can all be doing a little bit. And depending on how much you do, you can perhaps stretch yourself, learn a few more skills and start saving a few more, particularly if you've got perhaps some onions that you've stored from last year that are in your house and they've started to sprout. They've gone a little bit mushy inside. So maybe you're thinking, well, I can't use these. I'm going to throw them out or compost them or whatever. Well, if you've got space or even a little pot that's not doing anything, maybe just stick them in there and let them go on for another year and go to seed, and you can save those seeds. So there's lots of ways that we can all increase our seed saving, unless you're one of those amazing people that's already saving all the seeds, then good for you. My hat is off to you, madam or sir. So another thing we can do to save our bills, if you're on a water meter, we can try and harvest some water, harvest rainwater in water butts, use that for watering our plants or washing our cars or watering the garden. So there's loads of ways that we can actually reduce the amount of water that we need. And just by reducing what we're using is also really, really helpful. And that goes across the board. Something else that goes across the board, when we talk about, when we talk about frugality, something that goes across the board is the ability to make do and mend. Think, do I really need it? Is it actually going to add benefit? Then if it's not, maybe forego that purchase. Don't buy it in the first place. And rather than replacing things, can you mend them? Can you fix things? Can you sew? I can sew. I'm not very good at it. My wife's very good at it. She tends to do the sewing in our house, but it's not a male-female thing. It's just how it happens to be in our house. She tends to do most of the sewing, and I will do a little bit here and there. I'm quite happy to do it, but my wife is, she normally just takes that off me before I'm allowed. And, but I can get by, but by sewing things and repairing things. You might remember my garden umbrella I used to milk the goats under. We'd made 4 or 5 repairs to that and got an extra 2 or 3 seasons out of that before it finally got to the point where it was unrepairable. We're all about repairing things. And this can go right to the source when you're actually purchasing things. Think about the quality of the things that you're purchasing. Is it going to last a long time, or is it going to need replacing in a couple of months? Can you maybe save up, wait another few weeks and buy the slightly better version that's going to A, last longer, and B, actually when it does go wrong, maybe be worth repairing? The same goes for garden tools. You know, you want to be repairing and sharpening your own garden tools. We don't want to take them into a garden center to have them sharpened, whether it's the blades on your mower or whatever it might be. And equally, when you snap a handle, you know, learn how to put a new one on. It's not that difficult. And the way we live these days with YouTube and having the world's information in our pockets, we can all learn how to replace the handle on a spade without too much difficulty. And by doing that, you're going to learn some new skills as well, which is a great thing. You know, something we all love doing as homesteaders, isn't it? Next up, I want to talk about animal feed and ways to reduce our costs in animal feed, because if you're on a homestead, this can be quite a significant part of your income. Now, I've spoken lots and lots of times about how I used to feed my pigs for basically free. I used to collect waste products from fruit and vegetable shops, breweries that have spent grains. Microbreweries are the best ones to target, because these are the guys you can actually speak to someone who's got the ability to say yes. And bakeries, we used to collect from all of these places and basically raised our pigs for free on those products. That's a great thing you can do. Also, by giving your animals access to as wide a space as possible, they can forage for more of their food. I've said before, you know, free-ranging chickens are so much cheaper than cooped-up chickens, because a cooped-up chicken, you're going to be responsible for providing pretty much 100% of its diet, whereas if it can forage, you can get that down to almost zero. So by allowing your animals lots of space to forage, that's definitely a great way to save some money. Another thing you can do, and this is something that I've tried and I just couldn't make it work for our system, and that is the idea of sprouting grains for your hens now, or whatever animals. Now, the reason that we couldn't make it work is because, remember, we have or have kept well over 100 hens here on the property. That's generally the sort of numbers we run at. We might have about 60 laying birds that are purely for eggs, and then we've got another 30 or so in a flock that are dual purpose birds for meat and for eggs, and then we might have however many numbers of chicks and what have you running around at any given time, and a few spares around the house that are my wife's pets. So at that number, and bearing in mind my wife and I both have full-time jobs, the type of, and also our space requirements, because although we have lots and lots of space, what we don't have is too much inside space. We don't have too many spare corners in our polytunnels or in the house. And so for us, we just couldn't make it work on that scale because the sort of rotation required. But when we move house and we go down to a much smaller number of hens, then it's certainly something we're going to try again. The idea of sprouting grains is that the animals have more nutrients available to them and they're actually able to take it up that much easier. So by just putting your wheat grains or whatever it is you're feeding your chickens, corn, by putting it in water and allowing them to sprout for a few days and then feeding them that allows you to basically feed them less. They need far less of it to really, really do well on. So by sprouting grains, you can reduce your costs that way as well. And like I say, when we move to a different system, we're going to be giving that a go again. Now, something else about animals is you can grow some of your own feed, however that looks. You know, depending on what animals you have, you can think about growing what it is they're going to be able to eat. And by doing that, of course, it reduces your costs. And again, you can learn some skills. Perhaps you base your vegetable garden and think about the sort of byproducts that are naturally being grown in your garden. Perhaps there's lots of plants you can grow that maybe you're not growing because you think there's too much waste. And if that waste isn't going to waste, but is going to feed your hens, then maybe you can consider them. The last thing I want to say about saving some money here is if you're going to use grain or just regular poultry food, then you can think about what type of feeder you're going to put it in. By using what we use, which are treadle feeders, then it means that the vermin don't have access to it. You're not feeding the wildlife, you're only feeding the chickens. And it really did make a difference to the amount that we were having to feed. The waste goes down. Of course, reducing waste is a huge part of saving money, isn't it? So by getting a feeder that only allows access to the target animal is another great way of bringing those costs down. When we're buying things like feeders, the only other thing I would say is try your best. And we all live in a world that pushes us very, very hard to not do this, but try your best to live within your means. Don't get into debt. Don't use a credit card if you don't have to. We only use our credit cards for emergencies, really, if we can avoid it. We try very, very hard not to have any debt. And every, you know, when we look around everything we have, we know we've worked hard for it. And that's a nice feeling. And I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying that everyone can do it immediately, but working towards being debt-free is a huge benefit. Not buying things on credit where you're having to pay extra for them. Now, there's lots of different ways of thinking about that, but my personal one is, you know, if you're paying interest on anything, then that's money that could be used for other means. So anytime you've got to buy anything on with an interest payment, that's definitely something that for me is to try and be avoided. Another way you can save money is by making homemade gifts. I've made loads and loads of homemade gifts at Christmas. We tend to do it. We give away things like jams, chutneys. This year we gave away our goat's milk soap as gifts. And of course, this is a beautiful thing because if you're giving it to someone who's going to appreciate it, it's actually much, much better than a shop-bought version, saving you money, but also doing an even better job than whatever the purchased gift was going to do. So you can make homemade gifts. You can also make homemade cleaning products, and whether that's shampoos and soaps, or whether it's for cleaning your kitchen or for washing your clothes, these are all things that you can do at home, and they don't have to be that difficult. There's a great homemade soap we make, a liquid soap that we make just from the leaves of the horse chestnut tree, which is the simplest thing in the world and makes a great soap. I've done a YouTube video on that. I'm sure you can find that if you have a dig around. And the last tip is to use places like Freecycle and Craigslist to source things for free. It's amazing what you can source for free. We had a ride-on mower that we got for free from Freecycle that someone was giving up. We've had all sorts of building materials, whether it's roofing sheets or old fence panels that people have taken down, that we've collected from Freecycle. I swear by it, and it's a great way of sourcing things for free. There's all sorts of other ways, talking to builders and roofers for materials, that other people are going to be throwing something out. You can use it and use it to make something that you would otherwise buy, or even make something that's going to save you money because otherwise you wouldn't have had one. So these are all great ways of saving money on the homestead. And again, you know, a pound saved is as good as a pound earned, or actually even better. Right, that's it for today, guys. Thanks ever so much for listening. A quick reminder, please do get your questions in if you'd like Alan to ask me a question when he comes back on in a week or two and we start talking about my house move in a bit more detail. Get them in via email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com and I will speak to you guys later in the week. Cheers.
This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.